From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. The number of children living with their grandparents has increased dramatically in recent years. This is especially true in communities of color. 13% of all African-American kids depend on grandparents for care. The challenges facing these so-called kinship families can sometimes be overwhelming. I spoke with Dorothy Jenkins, a 75-year-old South Bronx grandmother who has already raised two of her grandchildren and is still raising a 13-year-old granddaughter. I also spoke with Donna Butts, executive director of Generations United. She says many of these special parenting situations come about because of substance abuse in the family.
Even if the parenting generation isn't necessarily currently involved in substance abuse, they may be in prison because of substance abuse, they may be dead because of substance abuse, or they simply may be incapacitated, not able to parent. And we're very, very fortunate in this country that grandparents are there to step in and are there to step forward because they really allow for continuity and a feeling of being loved and safety for children that have been exposed to often some very tragic circumstances and very difficult circumstances.
We should turn now our attention to Dorothy Jenkins, who is a 75-year-old grandmother who has raised three of her grandchildren, as well as partaking in at least seven of her grandchildren indirectly by what it's deemed heavy babysitting duties. Dorothy, first let me welcome you to the show. Good to have you.
Thank you.
Talk to me about the circumstance of how you came about raising your grandchildren.
I came about raising my grandchildren because I had no other alternative. They were my daughter's children. She was the idol of my life. And on down the line, Ed, something happened. I can't tell you how or why, but I know it wasn't a want or a need, but she turned to drugs.
Your daughter died of a brain aneurysm that is believed may have been related to her drug habit in 1995. How difficult is it to look at these kids and knowing that they will not know the beautiful daughter that you knew?
Looking back, I'm still aching because every morning I wake up and look at my daughter's picture on the wall. And every morning I have to get up in the morning and get Brittany ready for school. I ache. It's an ache that never, never go away. But me being a woman that I was, and I'm highly religious, I have the grace of God to keep on raising them. Anthony was 18, Warren was 10, and Brittany was 2. So you see, I had a task before me, but a task I didn't mind taking because the kids belonged to my daughter.
Donna, we should not minimize the idea that while grandparents do this out of love, it is a taxing situation on all in the home.
Grandparents who take in raising grandchildren really face a lot of obstacles. Oftentimes they'll ignore their own health. They'll skip doctor's appointments. They have to make decisions between prescription drugs for themselves and diapers for the baby, between child care so that they can continue to work, which they oftentimes need to do to try to provide for the children, to choices with their friends. Grandparents often say that they basically put their hopes and dreams in the closet when a child walks in.
Dorothy, how difficult has it been for you to put some of those dreams away? I know I was told by our producer you wanted to buy the biggest car you could and drive across country, and all of those dreams had to be put aside. It's natural that we love our relatives, and certainly grandparents' love for a grandchild is immeasurable. But I would also think there are times that you just feel like you wanted to be able to do for yourself.
I don't know where I put my dream, but I had big dreams for myself after working so hard in my life, and I had to retire at an early age because I had to take care of those children. And you see, there was clinic appointment, there was medical appointment, not too much for me. Thank God I'm a healthy grandmother. The only health problem I have is glaucoma, but I don't think about that. I only think about me living long enough to take care of these grandchildren. I dream that one day, Ed, I would get this big car, buy me a pair of jeans and some sandals, and get in this car with my hat in the back because I'm a hat-wearing grandmother, and drive cross country. But when my daughter died, it wasn't to be because I had to take my little Social Security money and my little retirement benefit and take care of these kids. Thinking of sending a child to college, thinking of putting Brittany in daycare and up to the eighth grade now. I really don't know today how I had money to do that, but it was only the will of God. I robbed Peter. It's old Saint Ed that you might have heard. Robbed Peter to pay Paul. Mm-hmm. I took from this child to give to this child, and from this child to give to the other child.
We should note, when we say grandparents taking care of grandchildren, often it is the singular, as is in Dorothy's case, because her husband passed away, and that this burden often falls to just one person.
Often it does fall to just a grandparent, whether it's predominantly a grandmother. However, many of the families who are raising grandchildren or nieces or nephews are married couples. What happens, though, when the children come into the family is that there becomes a tension and some issues that oftentimes develop. So that's why it's really important that there are supportive services and support groups, which should never be called support groups. It's usually coffee with the friends. But those kind of supportive services are very important because of the stress that there does come down on the marriage.
And let me ask you, Dorothy, the idea that you had to take this on after your husband's death in 1991, how difficult has it been in the sense of, particularly at that time, having to grieve the loss of your spouse and then to continue to try to raise these kids?
Life for me really stopped at that point. But I know there was something I had to do, and it was only me. Sometimes I really don't know how I really made it, but I did.
You've done such a wonderful job, too, Dorothy. I've heard about your oldest grandson. He spoke recently and is so eloquent and so deeply, deeply loves and appreciates everything that you've done for him. And that's a part of what we're starting to see now, too, is that as these children are aging, is the care that they're providing and the support that they're providing for the grandparents and relatives that raised them, because they know that they helped to hold the family together. And it's been a tremendous sacrifice. But the grandparents that are raising grandchildren in this country are saving this country a tremendous amount of money. If even half the children that were being raised informally by grandparents outside of the foster care system were to enter the foster care system, it would cost our country more than $6.5 billion a year.
Dorothy, let me ask you, and we could see it is still very emotional for you when you look at all of what you've dealt with, the death of your daughter, and the idea that you've taken on the responsibility so wonderfully in raising these three children. As you look, though, you mentioned that Brittany is now 13. I am 45 and have an 11-year-old daughter, and it's difficult enough for me to understand what's going on with that little wacky girl I have. I would suspect at 75 sometimes you look now. Can you see light at the end of the tunnel at all, Dorothy, when you know you have at least five more years with Brittany?
And yes, sometimes I do, because if you would see Brittany and see her mother, she is the very image of her mother. And that gives me an opportunity to look back over my life and say, I don't have Tammy now, but I have Brittany. And when we're acting good together, that's when she's coming home and acting good. When she tell me she was good in school today, it made me believe that my daughter is still alive in my life.
Dorothy, by that extension, in looking at her and seeing your daughter, I also would guess that you also have to fight the idea of the other side, as we often do as humans. When people leave us too soon, there is an anger as if they could have controlled it, and we know we cannot control the time we leave this earth. Did you have to fight through that? The anger of asking, why did you not only leave the kids, but why did you leave me?
Oh, Ed, so many times I say to myself, Tammy, why did you have to do this? You had everything a young girl wanted. And then, Ed, when I remember quite well when I found out that she was pregnant with Brittany, I said to her, it was very hard for a mother to say to a daughter, why would you want to have another child, Tammy? She says to me, Mom, why would you say that to me? Are you asking me to abort this child? I said, not directly, but indirect. Because you wouldn't be able to take care of this child. Would you wish that on me, Pammy? didn't say another word. But that's what she did. She leave me with something that I had to take care of. And I get very angry sometimes, especially when my funds are low. Because had it not been for these kids, Ed, I don't know where I would be right now in my life. But I'm sure that Donna told you that I am now a student at Fordham University, and I will be graduating on the 29th of November. So you see, I'm still motivated to do things that I think is best for me and to help them.
Donna, we should note that Dorothy's is an extraordinary story of hanging in there and dealing with what life often deals you. But it is not as atypical as one would believe.
These grandparents are incredibly strong, and they deserve our respect. And that's oftentimes what grandparents will tell you is, I may need some support, I may need some services, but what I really need is your respect and understanding and appreciation for the sacrifices that I'm making, that I'm choosing to make, but I'm definitely making them. And Dorothy, I'm so proud of you. I didn't realize you were graduating so soon. That's wonderful.
Thank you, Donna.
Well, Donna Butts, Executive Director of the Generations United Program and Project, we should thank you very much. And Dorothy Jenkins, I salute you. You know, there was a song by the Spinners called Sadie some years ago, and it talked about how grandparents have such a strong role in our lives, and you are the personification of that. And we send you a great big hug, Dorothy, and hope that soon you'll be able to get that big car, and hopefully we'll find a driver for you. You know, I know you told our producer that the years have started to take your sight away, but if anyone deserves to live their dream, it's you, and we thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you.
To hear a longer version of this interview and see a photograph of Ms. Jenkins, go to our website at npr.org.